say shy because it looks like that.
Oh, I say shy.
Because you read it. It's just like when you're reading it quick. Monday. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Monday edition of the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go. Four-person set?
Oh, my God. A four-person set on a Monday? Unbelievable. No shortage of things to get to today on this Monday. I, in many ways, feel like today is a line of demarcation for the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
It's the end of one chapter, and it was a very good chapter. Maybe my favorite chapter in a very, very freaking
great
years.
Chapter, man.
But it's the start of a new one that could be even better. Could be worse. Okay. Could be better. We're going to break all of that down. We're also going to talk about trade season, which is officially upon us as the first, I would call, big trade has gone down as the Lakers acquire Rui Hachimura. We're going to break that one down, discuss a Nuggets trade rumor we heard a little bit, and then also just look at what teams need to make a trade. Presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR. Gamble along with us in the pregame show. By the way, pregame show, like a mini podcast. Really good.
It is like a mini podcast. It is. That's what it is.
It's not just previewing the game, so I highly recommend you're jonesing for Nuggets content. You're like, man, hasn't been a show drop. I want someone to talk Nuggets. Check out the pregame show. Segments 2 and 3 out of the 4 segment of the pregame show are basically podcasts. Mm-hmm. Look who I have over here, sporting the brand new Maxi Minor Sombor Shuffle shirt.
My Maxi Minor shirt on, got my Subu slippers on. Life is good.
Yeah, wow, except free promotion for that company.
Yeah, shoes coming off like that, though, man. That's what makes them not shoes.
Yeah.
For a brief second, he was barefoot on the set, which is gross.
Over
here, I've got D-Line Co.
I mean, they are shoes in that they go on the feet, but they're not meant for outside use.
They're slippers.
Your slippers are
outside slippers.
I feel like you appended the word outside.
No, that's what they're for. That's what they are.
It's Subu. Like saying these are outside pajamas.
It actually is. You're both right.
It's what the product is, Eric.
It is what the product is.
That's
but
what
also,
I'm wearing.
If the product was outdoor, pajamas, it would also.
You're not supposed to wear them to work.
And then over here, sporting a fresh tan, looking refreshed, Senor Wind.
I definitely do not tan, so that's a bold lie. But yeah, I'm back.
I'm gassing you up.
Back from Tulum, changed man.
Yeah.
So how do you feel, Wind? You predicted 10 wins and were horribly wrong. Like, how do you feel about that?
I'm counting it as a dub for me. I'm counting it as a correct prediction.
Why not?
Sure.
Look, I mean, I didn't see this Nikola Jokic injury happening. I didn't see
16
Michael Porter Jr. missing that game for other reasons. I didn't, foresee all the missed free throws. So I'm going to count it. One for one on my 20 predictions for 2023. I'm counting it.
It really was like a crazy. You would have talked so much. I'm almost glad that it didn't hit because it would have been unbearable if he would have come back from his vacation just like stunting on us.
Yeah. I did cheat a little with it because I made the prediction when they had already won 2 games in a row.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm giving you credit. It was a very good prediction. Guys, we're going to start by looking back at this home stretch, though. You always break the season into little segments. I just feel like it's natural to. You don't always know where those segments are going to come. I think that we, as collectively, were pretty clear that we felt that this home stretch was a segment because it was so home heavy. Mm-hmm. If you break it down that way, the Nuggets had what I will call the initial 15-game stretch. This was the initial Murray's back, Porter's back, road heavy. You knew there would be some rust from those guys. It was the, figure things out.
Right.
They went 25 game stretch. They went 15-10 in that 25 game stretch, and they had just 9 home games. So they had 16 road games, 9 home games, and it was a pretty good, they did a pretty good job managing that. But we would all agree that if we rewind the clock in that stretch, Jokic was like 5th in the MVP ballots. The Nuggets were not the number. They were like a number 4 seed.
Defense was bad.
The defense was terrible. All of those things. If you take that and put it into one section, and then you look at this 22 games that they just played and say, okay, they went 18-4, and they had just 5 games on the road over that stretch. It was almost all home. 18-4 with 17 of those games being at home. To me, this is a section, and let's just start here. How would you grade it if you were handing out grades? How would you grade that 18-4 stretch, Eric?
I mean, it's an A+. Like the Nuggets are now first place in the West. Nikola Jokic has risen to the clear-cut favorite for his third MVP.
That Murray cool.
is back. He's better than ever. Every nugget is good. The vibes are immaculate to the point of obnoxious. I've been forbidden by Twitter and by all of my compatriots for using the word that I
and by feel your like own conscience
best describes the state that we're currently in.
Don't you dare.
I didn't do it, but I'm just saying, like, that's
you're
where we're
thinking
at.
It though.
I'm not okay. thinking it.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you just listed off a bunch of things here, but A plus I was interested in. Is that controversial? Is there like the A to the A plus? Is this an A plus?
Yeah, I think this is an A plus. I remember when the schedule dropped way back when, before the season started, and we looked at it and we were like, all right, this is the stretch that they could really get it going. Like this home heavy stretch was going to be the time when they could lock in. And they absolutely did that. I feel like the Nuggets hit a level during this stretch that I've never seen them hit before in the Jokic era. They just got to this zone where they were so good and in such a groove and clicking and just firing on all cylinders that they couldn't be beaten. Like, they would not play up to their standards on some nights, but they were just in such a groove and rhythm that it didn't matter. They just were winning games with like a B-level effort. And they just were in one of those zones that the really great teams can get to.
I'll give this an A plus as well. And since we have a consensus here, even before hearing your vote, I'll give you a different question, which is, what is the top story of this stretch?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I would say it's the defensive turnaround, just because I think even through, like we highlighted in the beginning, even through the turbulence, there was this, well, the offense is good enough. They have Jokic, right? There's enough to carry them through. What we needed to see to at least give them the benefit of the doubt was a stretch of a certain duration of being locked in and on a string defensively. And I think they did more than just give themselves the benefit of the doubt. I think they solidified themselves as contenders. So that's what we were really clamoring to see. That's what they showed us. And at least the fourth quarter defense, and even on the nights when the defense wasn't so good, like maybe they gave up 112, 113, they were putting up 135. So right. I think we saw specifically what we hoped to see.
Looks like 113 makes you the greatest defense in the league by a long shot this season.
What's funny, I put this out on Twitter a while back, and it kind of holds. The Nuggets are seventh in defense over the stretch. We're talking about 22 games, 18-4 stretch. Actually, it says 19-4 here if I'm going off the 8, so maybe I did my math slightly wrong. Either way, it's the same. Seventh in defense over that stretch, and that is big because what does everybody say? You need to have a top 10 defense.
Right.
Well, Nuggets over the stretch have. They've been the number one offense. That's a pretty good recipe. By the way, Memphis over the stretch is the number 10 offense and number one defense. Denver, the number one offense, number seven defense, so pretty darn good.
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest development of the stretch?
I'm going to say Jamal Murray. I declared him back after the Minnesota Timberwolves win when he just kind of took over down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Up his record.
I just want to be held accountable. Is that what it is? I just want to be held accountable.
Okay.
But that Timberwolves game, I was there in the arena watching it live, and you could just feel Jamal Murray take over that game.
Yeah.
And it was a familiar feeling to when he used to take over games late in clutch time. So just kind of how Jamal Murray is playing over the stretch, I think, is a huge storyline because, I mean, you look at his numbers, last 22 games, 20 points per game, up near 40% from three. He got the triple-double a couple games back. He's rebounding. He's assisting. His turnovers have been pretty low. I just feel like, you know, he's here. He's arrived again.
To me, this...
He's
back.
I already said that. So.
I agree. The defense is a big thing. I'm not sure how much I buy it. In part, and this is... I'm not trying to take anything away from Denver. Home-heavy schedule. And they faced a couple duds in there, man, that really helped them out. They had some shorthanded teams. Yeah, and look, sure, that happens. Over the course of a season, it averages out. But the thing that I do buy is Jamal Murray's run here, where I think in a lot of ways he's playing. We've talked about it. But some of his best ball, he's been a better scorer before. I don't know if he's been a better all-around player than what he's showing right now, and that's what's so encouraging. If it wasn't Murray and it wasn't the defense.
Connectedness. The Nuggets are playing connected basketball. The Nuggets are playing Jokic ball, even if Jokic isn't on the floor. The Nuggets are playing a brand of basketball that is like everything that we hoped that they would ever do. And we all saw for like a brief moment in time, 8 games, until it was taken away from us by the cruel, unforgiving basketball gods. Who we've learned from, we won't utter the phrase. Again, I'm not going to utter the phrase, but they are playing in a way that's like exactly how Nikola Jokic wants them to play.
I agree.
Exactly how Nikola Jokic has molded them to play. We're seeing Aaron Gordon make Nikola Jokic-type passes. We're seeing Jamal Murray rack up triple-doubles. We're seeing like all of these players play seemingly out of character, but like in a new character. Aaron Gordon's like a completely new guy. Like after a season and a half with Nikola Jokic, he's like a totally different player. And
he missed
like,
those free throws though.
He did miss those free. That's what I was getting to. What a loser. but the point, like, it's just like seeing what they can do and the height of what they can do. And it's not the beautiful thing is it's not like a LeBron team where it's like, oh, cool, we won because LeBron went off or whatever. It's like the team just figured out how to be in the right place, make the right plays, you know. And sometimes it falls apart for them and they're still able to figure it out over this stretch. But like seeing that, like that beautiful vision of what it could be, like that to me is like the biggest story.
You guys are bringing it today.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
You guys are bringing it. If I were to grade this, you were definitely third, because I think the defense is clearly a distant third on this one.
I mean, it's not
clearly.
It's
barely, I mean, it's brutal. It was a good point, but
pretty good.
It's like barely pretty good.
But honestly, the Jamal thing, and then also I love that you brought up the connectedness, because I really do think that if the Nuggets ever win a title with this team. Whenever they win a title, it's going to be because they get to even bigger heights than what we're talking about here. Like where they're at now is at an all-time high, but I feel like there's something even more. And here's what's crazy. The Nuggets averaged 29.6 assists over this 23-game stretch that we're talking about. That's insane. 30 assists is like, oh, you hit a really good mark. They've averaged that over the stretch. Now, Denver for the season has been around like 28. They've been second. But to overtake even the Warriors, who passed the hell out of the ball, and be at that 30 assists per game mark is really, really impressive. And evidence of that is you take Jokic out. Two of the games in this 9-game win streak have come without Jokic. That, to me, is a leveling up of your identity and who you are. So, for me, there's no questions asked. I think that I would probably go connectedness and then the Murray return.
I didn't realize this is a competition, but screw you screw you. Let's go. Just keep the receipts. I'm like,
Eric, you're having a great show so far.
Keep me accountable. Just keep me accountable.
The one thing I would say, just to push back on your point, and I think you were, I liked your pushback on the defense, is not that, you know, would I buy that they have one of the best defenses in the league? Like, are the seven? No. But what the framing we had after the first start to the season, can they get it to the middle of the pack, above average level that makes us feel like, given their offense, this is at least tenable? And I would say I definitely feel that way.
Well, I mean, here's what's really going to have to happen, because this is a reductive way of doing analysis, but to say that no team has ever won a championship outside the top 10, or only one team has been outside the top 10.
LeBron's Cavs are really the only team in the last 15 years to do it.
So I get why people don't buy Denver in that one way. Like, let's be honest, it's a real thing. But if you can say after December, like basically cut out the first month of the season after that Denver was, I think then you have a compelling case. Like then you could say push back on it. I don't know that Denver has the runway or the ability to be a top 10 at the end of the year. It'd be really, really hard. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they have the ability to be top 10 over the final 60 games, which is a large portion of the season. And hopefully that gives you a little bit of confidence. I will say, though, one of my big takeaways, this isn't the biggest one, this is clearly a fourth thing, but one of my big takeaways is, and I always say this early in the year, the data that comes through in the first month of the season is so noisy, but so narrative setting. And the Nuggets were on the road so much, and it screwed up some of the numbers, made them look horrible, and you're like, oh my God, the indicators. And now here they are as the number one team. And I think that there's a course correction that probably lies ahead for Denver too, and that is that playing at home is a huge advantage. The fact that Denver has dominated at home, I know they dropped this last one, but this stretch was in large part because they were so good at home. But now there's a new test ahead of that for them, and that is, like, can you bring this on the road? Can you bring this in new environments? And possibly can you bring this under unusual circumstances that include a trade deadline that is looming that might be a little bit more distracting than in years past, in large part because the team is so connected?
We're talking about connectedness, and I wanted to bring up a point that Adelman touched on pregame. I asked him about, you know, can win streaks be detrimental, or can you get complacent, used to winning?
He had a good answer.
Fall off the process. And he said, yes, absolutely, but that's not what's happening to this group right now. He felt coming into that game that they were as dialed in and focused as they've been to the game plan, to their particular blueprint to success. And I think after the game, he tried to, without shoving a good loss down everyone's throats, he tried to frame that as well. Like, we lost this game, but they stuck to what's gotten us this far. And so I think that that line from him is encouraging to know as they take the show on the road.
It's kind of funny thinking of Adelman next to Malone, because Malone is so, like, he rides these highs, he rides his lows. And Adelman is very, he seems pragmatic, very stoic. You know, he rides down the middle quite a bit.
Well, you got to do that to balance out Michael Malone a little bit.
so it was kind of interesting.
It's like in the job description.
We just gave four things. A fifth, but which is a pretty major thing that I think is almost underappreciated, because when it happens slowly, you forget what a big deal it is. But Jokic is the consensus number one MVP pick right now, which 20 games ago, if you would have said, oh, no, he's not going to be the favorite, he's going to be like the heavy favorite by the end of the stretch. But that's where we are. Like right now, it would take, I think, quite a bit for Jokic to fall back down, you know, from the Spurs. It might, I think it's going to happen just inevitably. Sure. Like there'll be a bad game and then it'll get overreacted to. But it's kind of wild to think that where we were at the last straw poll, which was like 5 weeks ago, was Jokic was fifth and off of a lot of people's ballots. Now he's number one.
I mean, the biggest thing he's got in his back pocket if he's going to win it this year is the number one seed. Like the fact that Denver is just top of the West, like that's your best case.
I would say
the best case he's probably ever
had. I would say the thing that's going to make or break Jokic's MVP case is the thing that made it last year, which is he's about to go up against Embiid this next week, and there's going to be eyes on it. And
it's too early though.
Rivalry week,
but it's
it'll matter.
It's this thing where narratives get set and then they never look back. And like Denver's a team that you don't watch that often, so like you have an idea of what's true, and then you're like, you know. So
All right, let's take our break. On the other side, though, we just looked backwards. Let's look forward now. This next block of games, in my opinion, starts tomorrow, and it doesn't end until the All-Star break in the second week of February. And over that span, there's an NBA trade deadline. So let's kind of preview this and talk about what the schedule says.
Guys, I was just down in Mexico.
That's what I heard.
Hit that at the top of the show. But what did I do every morning?
I would think you just thought how much you missed each one of us, me especially.
Incorrect.
Okay, what?
I poured a nice cup of Athletic Greens. Got those Athletic Greens travel packs, brought them down with me. Didn't get stopped at customs or anything. Let me ride on through. And I used them every morning. Set me out on my day in the right mindset. But if you want better gut health, if you want more energy in your daily life, you want to optimize your immune system, check out Athletic Greens. With one scoop of it, you get 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens.
You know, I looked up what adaptogens are. You know what they are? The adaptogens are plants and herbs that help stabilize your mood.
That's
like helps you adapt to life. It like helps you to deal with stresses and things like wildly inconsistent Denver Nuggets free throw shooting performance.
It works for every type of lifestyle, every type of diet. So if you want to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season, one scoop of Athletic Greens and a cup of water every single day. That's all you need. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase as well. Go to athleticgreens.com/nuggets, athleticgreens.com/nuggets to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, I want to talk about one of the newest sponsors here on the DNVR podcast network, Shady Rays.
Hell yeah.
Shady Rays, you probably guessed it, sunglass company.
I would think that growing up on the East Coast, Brendan probably knew a guy named Shady Ray. Involved in different business altogether.
Yeah, he kind of hangs out behind the high school.
That's like the more like the Jive Hybrid. You know,
Shady Ray.
Kick Shady off Ray. The new year with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. What I like about Shady Rays, like high quality sunglasses, but they're not going to break the bank. Like you try to get like all these other brands, you know, polarized, high quality, the stuff that's pretty popular. It's way overpriced. Shady Rays, affordable. They're an independent sunglass company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any of the expensive pairs that you've probably worn. Durable frames, extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures as well. They also have this great policy where if you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they'll send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. If you don't love them, you can exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. This is exclusive to our DNVR listeners. Shady Rays is giving you their best deal of the year. ShadyRays.com, use the code DNVR, or visit them in store at Park Meadows for 50% off more pairs. This is a ridiculous deal.
Insane deal.
ShadyRays.com, use the code DNVR, or you can visit them in store at Park Meadows. 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses.
Oh, I want my Shady Rays. I can't wait.
They're great. I already got two pairs, getting a third pair. Tell you they're good. All right. Back here, let's look ahead now, guys, to this upcoming stretch. Again, I'll call this the pre-All-Star break stretch. This might be what most would call the dog days of the season. You're past the window where there's excitement. For the Nuggets, there's been excitement over this win streak. And who was asked about it after the game? And somebody was like, does it make, I think it was Murray, does it make it easier getting through these games when you're winning and playing well? And it's like, oh, for sure. It makes basically saying these dog days are bearable when you're winning and everybody feels good about it.
Everyone hates being in the NBA.
Everybody really does. That's so true.
Everyone hates watching it, being in it. They're like, doesn't it suck to have to play basketball? They're like, yes.
Another game.
How depressed are you clinically?
But this stretch, it's 12 games, because this is actually a smallish stretch. 12 game stretch. And there are 7 road games and 5 home games, so a little bit more road heavy than it is home heavy. There are 2 back-to-backs, and then the next 5 games are like super tough. Let me pull up the schedule here. I thought I had it open in a tab. They obviously are in New Orleans for tomorrow's game, which will be a big one. You win that one. New Orleans is one of those teams that is like right there at the... You don't want to get to a portion of the season where you're worried about the teams behind you. You kind of want to just worry about 1 or 2 seed, right? So this is one of those ones that would bury New Orleans even further. It's almost a double win of a team that's in that same zone. But you're at New Orleans, then an immediate back-to-back at Milwaukee. This sucks because Yoke being on a hamstring thing, there's almost no chance he plays in both of them. I wouldn't play him.
I saw this and I was like, God damn it. What is this?
At least here's the thing. Milwaukee doesn't actually matter. As much as we love Jokic Giannis and we love seeing that, and it's a measuring stick game in a way.
Denver matches up with them in the Jokic era well.
But it doesn't matter. Like, to me, I'm like, get that New Orleans one and the East Coast games, whatever.
I'm with you.
Then you have rivalry week and at Philadelphia, Saturday afternoon game. So let's see. At New Orleans, they're going to be underdogs. At Milwaukee, they'll be underdogs. At Philadelphia, underdogs. Then you return home to play the Pelicans at home. You should be favorites in that one, but a tough game. And then you're at home against the Golden State Warriors, who are in desperation mode right now. That's 5 games in a row. 3 on the road, 2 at home. One of those a back-to-back. All 5 of those are going to be tough, tough games. So I look at this and I go, you know what? The first stretch of this is going to be a tone setter.
Yeah, for sure. And what's your kind of bar for acceptable good? Like, what are you expecting over this stretch?
Well, we can do that at the very end as we look at all 12. You can pull up the schedule. But those 5 games right there, like, let's be honest. I hope Jokic plays, and I hope Denver is hungry coming off of a loss, that it's like, hey, let's go out there and send a message. They're a team that has been without Ingram. You know, they've had a little bit of guys in and out of the roster. And also, let's not kid ourselves. They spanked Denver in New Orleans last time they matched up. Remember, Jose Alvarado went off. So this is a chance to be like, hey, this is a young team that we need to make sure they know they're the up-and-comers.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great stretch for just the Nuggets to continue to prove that they're that team. I mean...
On sincerity, I love this because that's one of the questions is, how would we weigh the next 5 games versus the previous 20?
Mm. Yeah.
In your mind.
I mean, in my mind, like, when they were at home, these last 20, they were at home for much of that stretch. They took care of business. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. They played really well. They got connected. But, you know, going out on the road and playing some of these, not just playoff teams, but contenders, like Philly and Milwaukee, that's going to be a prove-it, you know, couple of games. That Philly game, the rivalry week.
Yeah.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, ABC. When was the last time the Nuggets had a Saturday ABC afternoon game?
Great time for our Serbian followers.
Yeah. It's going to be an absolute just like prove it stretch.
And I think, yeah, you know, we talk about the confidence scale, and so many people are like just short of out of control or in between the, I guess it's Harrison and Adam scale. And I think some road success is probably the last hurdle.
Sure.
Let me phrase it to you this way, D-Line. You said your like excitement level, all-time high, just get the playoffs here. If the Nuggets went 1-4 over these next five games, would that make you less confident in the Nuggets?
It depends on how it happens. I mean, like, you know, you're again...
Outplayed. I mean, they lose by seven.
If they look like they're outmatched versus like they're in it, but they lose a close one on the road. Okay. Like, you lose games on the road. Like, people... You know, even when you get to the finals and you have two like very evenly matched teams, it's like expected that you win your games at home and you lose the games on the road. So, I mean, like if we're just saying they lost them, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. Like, I just want to see them look competitive, obviously, like look like they are playing their brand of basketball. And it's like early on in the year when they went to Boston and Boston just smacked them because they just made every shot. And I was like, man, I cannot wait to see this team in Pepsi Center or Ball Arena. And then what happens? Boston comes, we smack them right back. So yeah. I don't know. I'm a little, this stretch makes me nervous because the Nuggets now have attention on them. Mm. And like people are finally paying attention on like the East Coast, especially like, and this is like, I mean, this is a big Twitter week. More than anything, it's like a big.
Which it's they a, don't it's a big narrative week.
It's a huge narrative week. It doesn't matter anything to them. It matters everything to us.
Yeah.
So I always like we. This is like the Christmas game, whatever. Where you're always like, man, please just care about this like 1/8 the amount that I care about this, because like you guys will move past this. I'm gonna get gift to death about this if it goes poorly. So like, just that's all I want. I just want them to look like they are the team that we think they are, but that some losses can come.
What is the question that needs answered over this stretch, this 12-game stretch, Wind?
Can Jamal Murray continue to build on what he did the last 20 games, and does the defense travel on the road?
Man, does the defense travel for sure?
Yeah, because we've seen them play great defense at home. You're supposed to play great defense at home or better defense than you do on the road. Nope. Can they do it on the road in Philly, in Milwaukee, you know, in Minnesota in a couple of weeks? Like, that's going to be a massive storyline.
I'll throw another one out to you. The Bones Highland question of this to me is going to loom really large over this team over the next 3 weeks, because the trade deadline is 3 weeks. You know, I don't know that the Nuggets are looking to move Bones or this or that, but it is the one piece that feels like while the Nuggets are on the rise, he's the one that has been like finding his footing and trying to figure this out and cold shooting and this or that. So for me, that's one of the questions over the next few weeks, because it's going to have a thing weighing over it, which is he on the trade market?
Yeah, I think that's, I was going to say the bench in general. You know, when the team was last healthy, I think we felt a little bit better about the rotation. But then, you know, these last couple of games, not so much. Yeah, I think Bones, it's tough too, because you want it to be contingent upon more than just the shot making too. You don't want him to just hit some shots and then you go, oh, now everything's fine. You know, there's we talk about the connected basketball, and I think Bones Murray minutes have been like the biggest bump in the road in terms of how it all looks and it looking disconnected. And he has felt a bit like how did you describe Porter in the past? Like an appendage, right? Separate from the team. So can he not just play well, but look to find his teammates, you know, play good defense without gambling, you know, like take the right approach and play a little wiser than his years? Those specifically are what you need to see from him. You know, I'm in favor of letting Bones play through this, but I don't have any intention of mocking someone who looks at the situation and goes, like, is there a trade to be made there? Because I get at least that line of thought for sure. Mm-hmm.
The thing with young players, I mean, if you ever talk to Warriors fans or just hop in Warriors Twitter or Warriors Reddit, wherever you go online, and you just look at what the Warriors fans are talking about. Last year, hated Jordan Poole.
Yep.
Hate Wiseman.
Yep.
The Wiseman one, I think, is legit. Like, Wiseman's almost like Moody A level drag on them. Kuminga even is like, he's good, but do we have time to wait for him? What are we doing? They just want to trade the young players. And I don't know who's right or wrong on this. They did win a championship with Jordan Poole, so apparently that worked out. But there's also just something, too, man. Like, it takes so – I mean, we're talking about Jamal Murray. Yes, he had an injury, but even if you just count his healthy years, what's he in, year six or year five of health? And it's like, it just takes so long for them to reach that version of themselves that you think is right. So anyway, that question's going to loom large over the Nuggets. And, you know, if Bones plays really well over these next couple, like if everything starts to come together where he's hitting his shots, but he's also reading when to shoot and when not to, I do think that that is going to change the perception of this team and change the perception of like what maybe how you approach the trade deadline. I think another key to the stretch for me is going to be Michael Porter. If you look at Jokic has become the unanimous or the consensus MVP favorite. Jamal Murray looks like he's back and better than ever. Aaron Gordon has a shot at being an all-star. Bruce Brown, KCP look like they've been perfect fits. Michael Porter, we think, has looked like a very good fit for most of the year. Like he has really bought in, but it feels like there's more for him to offer, but it's like, hey, walk, crawl.
Right.
Wait, crawl, walk, run. And we're on the walk part with Michael Porter. But there's obviously a big variable in place now, as we have found out yesterday, that he is going through a family situation right now with his brother, you know, facing an arrest and a potential charge for vehicular homicide. So that's going to be a major distraction at an exact moment when you would look at it and say, here's a chance for Porter. Now, you've checked all these boxes. Now, Porter's the one. So I think he is a key to this upcoming stretch, but the range of outcomes for him is so wide.
Yeah, absolutely. What you've loved about Porter so far this year is exactly what you said. He's fit into his role so nicely and so smoothly. He hasn't tried to do too much. He hasn't forced the issue. He's just taken the game as it's come to him and fit in. And, you know, like the games he's been putting up recently, I feel like, you know, 14 points, 16 points,
right.
Really clean shooting. I actually wonder if that's kind of the best way for him to play on this team. I don't know if I want Michael Porter doing too much more offensively. I think the balance they have, where just everybody is so comfortable sharing the ball right now, especially on that starting five, I'm kind of good with the role and just kind of the offensive responsibility that he has.
Let me push back. Let me ask you this one thing. If Murray has it going, you call Murray's number more. If Gordon has a mismatch, you call Gordon's number more. If KCP has it going, we've never really seen the Nuggets go to him because he just fills in. So is Porter like KCP? Is he like Murray or is he like Gordon?
Probably like he's not KCP because the Nuggets are never going to really call stuff for KCP to like rack up points if he's really feeling it. Probably in between Murray and Gordon.
Okay. Yeah. I think I agree with that, but I don't, when we talk about there's more Porter has to offer, that's the thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've seen Jokic like, oh, he's on fire. I'm going to find him on a post up. But I'm just talking about, I think there might be room for, hey, Porter is our guy. This, like the way they're set up, Porter's our guy. How do we best take advantage of it? And we saw, what game was it not too long
Portland.
Ago? Portland. Damian Lillard, they put him on him. He has a Porter quarter immediately.
Yeah.
I'm saying more of that. I just think there's, he'll be the best weapon for Denver when it's a, you're not allowed to put your worst defender on him.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, like if you get to the playoffs and a team.
We know what to do.
Right.
Playbook. Right. We go and to the playbook.
It's not just he's open in the corner, like the mid post, the playbook, the various areas where he can.
We've seen that stuff happen for a stretch, you know, a quarter, maybe a half.
Right.
I don't see that happening for like full games, you know?
Oh no, it's a quarter at a time. But if you told me in a playoff series in a pivotal game four that a team put Steph Curry on Michael Porter right now, do I have the confidence that Denver and Porter would take advantage of that to the degree that you're going to have to in order to keep up with the Warriors?
Right.
No. And that's what I'm saying with Porter. He can do that. But Denver, I think, has to establish that portion of it.
I agree.
All right. That's this upcoming stretch. It's only 12 games. I don't think it'll be make or break for the Denver Nuggets just because they have a good cushion on the third seed. And I don't think they're going to pull away or anything like that over the stretch. But I do think it'll be like sort of a, hey, things can get ugly if you don't take care of business early and put yourself behind the eight ball. And I'm curious to see what happens. All right. Let's take a break. On the other side, the Lakers made a trade and also a trade proposal, kind of a fan trade proposal. But I think it's an interesting one to frame the conversation for the Nuggets and how they might approach this trade deadline.
Guys, Jive Hive. Jive Hive.
Oh, man.
What is Jive Hive, you might ask?
Well, what is Jive Hive?
It's a virtual dispensary on wheels.
That's right.
You can go to jivehive.com. they serve a lot of, you know, the Denver area. It's convenient, great prices, privacy and security. If you're, you know, you don't want your identity revealed, check out Jive Hive when you're buying stuff from a dispensary. You don't have to drive in bad weather. You know, we get that a lot here. If you can't drive, maybe, you know, you've had a couple beers, Jive Hive can just deliver to you. It's that easy. Visit jivehive.com, JIVEHYVE.com. Get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. They also have delivery windows, which are pretty cool as well. Not a lot of delivery companies have that. Head over to jivehive.com, enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. They now serve Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, various areas of El Paso County as well. So get set up with these guys. Jivehive.com. You can get weed delivered to you. Tight. It's a virtual dispensary on wheels. You don't even have to leave your house.
Sick.
It's that easy. Jivehive.com. Also at DraftKings Sportsbook, guys, right now, the NBA is in full swing, obviously. Take your shot at turning buckets into big cash with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They are my go-to for hoops action. I'll be betting on the Nuggets tomorrow night. I guarantee you that.
Really?
Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. If you're looking for an even bigger payout, take your shot at our Friday night favorites. All you have to do is go to DraftKings Sportsbook, go to the app, opt in, place a select two-leg pregame moneyline parlay. You'll get a 50% profit boost on that promo. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with code DNVR. New customers bet $5 on the NBA. Get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, back here, segment three. I was in a meeting today when this one came across.
That's meeting flex.
Thanks, you got man.
That's on the meeting, dude.
It was, cool, you guys weren't in it. It was kind of a top level meeting. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of these. You know, it was one of those ones.
iCal invite sent out? A Google?
Dude, we had Google Calendar invites.
Ooh, that sounds like a good one.
It was a really good one. I was in a meeting today. I don't know why that got the peanut gallery out. I was in a meeting today when a news came across it, and I didn't have time to like talk to you fellas about it. See, let me get my full sentence out. So I haven't gotten your guys' reaction to this, but when I saw it, God damn it. The Lakers have traded Kendrick Nunn, who hadn't played for most of the year.
Love him.
3 second-round picks and received Rui Hachimura from the Washington Wizards.
Mm.
Here's one thing. I hate fake trade season.
Yeah.
Because it's so pointless because a lot of them are unrealistic, this or that. But then there's also the, like, who knows what a front office is valuing, and every now and then they're like, 3 seconds, that's all they wanted for Rui Hachimura.
That's exactly it. When everyone's like, oh, you couldn't do that. Or, why don't we just trade? It's like, because it's people. I don't know. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, dude, I'll give you 3 Twinkies for your ham sandwich. Like, I don't like ham sandwiches. You're like,
I should have just done 1 Twinkie or whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway, when you see this move wind, what do you think it does for the Lakers?
That's the one we care about. I've never been a big Hachimura guy.
Really?
Yeah. He's the type of guy where I've just never seen him play well, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, like people like him. Oh, you know, 6'8", playmaking 4, can do a little bit of everything. I don't watch the Washington Wizards a lot. I've just never seen him play that well. But the thing is, the Lakers gave up absolutely nothing for him. So this means it's a win for the Lakers. They gave up Kendrick Nunn, who's worth...
I was just about to say, I love that his last name's Nunn.
Has he played for the Lakers?
He has, but not very much.
He sucks. I think
he's played like 6 games.
He's terrible.
That wasn't very many.
3 second-round picks. I mean, who really cares? For Rui Hachimura, a former lottery pick, you can talk yourself into. So I'm not a Hachimura guy, but that being said, it's a good deal for the Lakers. Absolutely.
I feel bad for him. Because I know he needed a new opportunity, but I just feel like it's such a pressure cooker opportunity. It's not just come here, exploit your game, and play well. Like, come to LA where there's a lot of pressure. The season has fallen apart, where the role players need to do some very specific stuff. And if you mess up, everyone hates you.
I also thought the Lakers needed shooting. I mean, I'm sure they're not done. Like, they'll probably do other stuff, but
yeah, not much of a
it's
shooter.
It's not like Hachimura is a good shooter.
Here's the one area where I think it helps him. And I look, he's a good second draft guy. Like, he's just a guy that might have more to give. He does have a nice and interesting, like, one-on-one game. 6'8", kind of like can do a little bit of a lot of different things. Here's the thing I hate about it. Length is huge. The Lakers have no defense, but they have, in my opinion, the foundation for having a good defense, which is obviously Anthony Davis, LeBron James, who's one of the best athletes we've ever seen, even as old as he is. And then you just start to add length around those guys. Like, okay, you didn't add defense, but you did add some size. And I start to look at that and go, man, that's the tough thing. That's what makes them tough. So I look at this as they traded a guy who was 6'2 and kind of valueless to them, some picks. And they got a guy who is 6'8 who, if nothing else, is just going to be a tall player that makes him a tougher matchup for Denver specifically.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a blockbuster by any means. And the Lakers, it is funny when we just kind of scoff at second-round picks. I think they're less valuable for the Lakers than anyone else, even though the Lakers have actually had some pretty good second-round picks over the last decade.
Yeah.
But so they are. There is one aspect of this of, like, I don't know when the LeBron era ends in L.A., but they have nothing left
after 2 years ago.
Well, thank you. But I'm just saying, like, whenever their window is closed, which might be now. You're right, though, Eric. To your point, their window might be closed. Oh. I mean, they're not even in the play-in just yet. But whether it is or isn't, like, they don't have very many other. It's like, oh, all they traded was three second-round picks. It's like, yeah, that was half their assets.
It's not going to be Dallas or Miami endlessly pivoting to more competence. You know?
Right.
It's going to come crashing down, man.
Another thing I saw, I think this was from Michael Scotto. So this is just a rumor, but let's. You know, I think it's a realistic one when you think about what types of things Denver is looking for. Bones Highland for Naz Reid was a pick I did, you know, I'd heard out there. If we break this down, Bones Highland is a young player with a lot of upside. Naz Reid is sort of like, he actually has some upside, I think.
He's young.
He's young. I think he's like 26 or 27.
Younger than that, man.
Is he?
Yeah.
He has some upside. Offensive-minded centers as your backup typically don't go that well. He's not a great defender, but he is a really good offensive player, man. Like, he's got a three-point shot. He's got size. He's got great post. He's only 23.
Yeah.
Man. That's, and he's up for...
Like, he's been in the league forever.
Well, the other thing is he's at the end of his rookie contract. Is he not? I'm pretty sure he's at the end of it. So it also might end up being a long-term control piece in the Bones Highland versus are you just getting this guy for a little quick run, and then are you prepared to match a large offer for him in the offseason? So, but nonetheless, I know a lot of people have wanted a big. Is this a good move, Eric?
I don't like it. I don't like as I'm thinking about it, mainly because I was so impressed or been really impressed with the rise of Zeke Nagy. Mm. And so this kind of cuts two of our developing players off at the knees. I would say, I like it because we don't have to play against him anymore, and somehow he like is a number one Nuggets killer.
We're going to Ishmith him.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. To me, that's like not like if not for what we've been seeing out of Zeke Nagy lately, I think I'd be more excited about it. But to me, it's like we hurt ourselves twice.
It would be interesting if it was Zeke Nagy for him. Would you be more open to it?
No.
Okay, so you just like Zeke Nagy more than Nagy.
My thing is like unless it's like somebody that's going to definitively make us better, I don't want to mess with the vibes that we've got. Like I like the grouping of players that we have. It's like if you're telling me, okay, we need a more competent, veteran to come in and run the second unit. We need like ironically a Monte Morris to come back in and be that steadying force on the second unit. And because Bones's timeline doesn't match up with the Nuggets, blah, 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 all that stuff. Like, I'm like, all right, I can see that. But then it's like, okay, so we trade Bones. Is that now Bruce Brown is our backup?
Right.
So that's sort of like he's a little bit miscast in that role. To me, it's like it creates more problems than it fixes.
It's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I'm in favor of him as the backup center, like that sentence in a vacuum. I don't know how much I love that trade. I think I'm with Eric in terms of some of the other questions that crops up. I like Bruce as like a 2.5-point guard on the depth chart. I feel like that much responsibility might be a bit much. He is sneaky turnover prone. Not like Bones is running a Steve Nash clinic out there right now, but I don't know if I love that trade. Also because of what you talked about with the possibility of long-term control versus short-term rental. But Naz Reid as the backup center, that sounds quite appealing.
Denver's area of logjam is the front court, especially off the bench, because you've got Vlatko, you've got Zeke, yep. you've got Jeff, you've got DeAndre, and you're going to have to basically just pick between two of those and possibly even just one of those as you get further into the season or into the playoffs.
Yeah, like just creates further confusion.
So if you didn't trade one of those guys, but you received a new guy who plays over them, it just more creates that logjam.
Yeah.
I am interested, though, Wind, in the idea of, like, who drafted Bones Highland?
Tim Connelly.
Do you think like that? So then does that naturally make you start looking at them and going like, what about Kyle? You said like, who can you get that would make sense? Yeah. To me, a playmaking small forward would be the most logical to me. And Kyle Anderson is sort of that because as you mentioned, Bruce can play point guard, but he can't do all point guard. Can you take off 30% of his point guarding duties?
You love slow-mo too. You just love him.
Well, he was a point guard in college. Like he actually is a point guard. He plays small forward. So if your backup combo was Brown and Brown with Kyle Anderson, to me, I look at that and I go, man, that's a good bridge. Like that bridges all the pieces or whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, nonetheless, like, is that a thing that you know, kind of consider?
Yes. I think that's definitely a bigger priority than backup center. Backup center has been a roller coaster all year, but I feel like trading Bones Highland, who's only 2 years into his rookie deal, for a backup center who's going to be a free agent next summer, that would just be bad business, I feel like. That one-for-one swap seems like bad business to me, especially you got Kamagate coming over next year.
Maybe.
Maybe. I just don't think, again, I don't know what Bones Highland's trade value is. I feel like trading him for a backup center wouldn't be like the Nuggets' best use of that.
I agree.
I think a playmaking four in that Kyle Anderson role or an Alex Caruso type would be a better target.
All right. I do love Caruso, man. Are you kidding? Like, this is like the Nuggets, like porn, though. What's it take to get Alex Caruso? Because you're right. He would be phenomenal.
You could just play Christian Brown.
I mean, he's been my guy the whole time. Option.
It would be funny to get Caruso's better than Brown, though. I'm the biggest Brown guy, but
I like how, I like the way you started that question to Win. Like, does Tim Connelly like his guys?
Austin Rivers, like all these different guys.
Bryn Forbes.
What would it be like to be on the other end of a Tim Connelly intra-division trade?
Oh, that does sound appealing.
That'd be an experience.
Oh, you're so right. I didn't even think of this. All right, let's take one last quick break here. Very quick, short break, because on the other side, I just want to list out teams, and I want you to tell me if you think they are going to panic trade here in 3 weeks. I got some teams that I think resounding yes that would have been surprising if I would have asked you 3 weeks ago.
But if they're planning on panic trading, is it still a panic trade?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we're planning on them to panic trade.
Premeditated panic.
We see the panic coming. The desperation in their voice.
Guys, if you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. Backus and Shanker, you've probably heard of them, a law firm here in Colorado. They win for Colorado families. They are helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado. They've been doing it for more than 25 years. They have a free service until you win your case.
Let's go.
So you don't have to pay for Backus and Shanker unless they win your case for you. Hit these guys up. Backus and Shanker, they're like a Colorado institution. They've won over $1 billion for their clients. And they have even more local locations right now. They serve all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They have the strength and power to win your case. More than 30 lawyers and 100 staff members at Backus and Shanker. So give these guys a call today, 222-2222. Easiest number in all of Colorado to remember, 303-222-2222. They help with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help you if you're injured at work. Give them a call, 222-2222, locally here in Colorado, to find out if you have a case for free. Again, you don't pay them any money until they win your case for you. Backus and Shanker, that's what they do. They win.
All right. Guys, I don't know if you're watching SportsCenter or ESPN or just any of these. Scrolling Twitter, and this came across your timeline. Damian Lillard, the Blazers had that collapse against the Lakers the other day. And the media was asking him some questions after the game about, does the roster need a change? And he was like, I feel like it's unfair of you guys to be asking me this. I'm of two minds of this. Part of me understands that there is a time and place. Another part of me also understands that we almost never get to talk to these guys. Oftentimes, like, you know, he'll usually be available after every game. But during the season, sometimes you don't get a chance to talk to a player. So I'm of two minds about it. Was it fair to ask him? The more important...
Of course it's fair to ask him. Like, this, yeah.
This is what I'm trying to get at. I agree with you. I agree with you. Here's the thing. The reason those questions were asked is because it's really the only important question around Portland right now. They are 21-25. They've lost three in a row. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They've been on a downward spiral for as long as Denver's been on an upward spiral. 21-25, and they are currently the third worst team in the Western Conference. Third worst. They are closer right now to winning Wembanyama than they are to making it to the play-in.
Which one would you rather have? Title or Wembanyama? Like, in terms of winning, would you rather get Victor Wembanyama or win an NBA title?
Win an NBA title.
Yeah, I'm joking.
My point is, I think that Portland is like almost a lock to make a panic trade. I don't care what you think of this Blazers team. Oh, they're better than what they've played. They're in a slump. You would have a really hard time saying Damian Lillard is kind of at the end of his prime, or at least at the very least, like in the final years, man. If it's going to be years. And you're like, yeah, we're not one piece away from it. So to me, I look at Portland and I go, that's a team that to me is like a lock to panic trade.
Absolutely try to get Jeremy Grant or Nurkic from those guys.
We do need a backup center.
That's true.
Honestly, though, every year there's one team that makes a crazy move we don't see. And I don't think it's Portland just because their MO has never been to blow it. They've had so many chances. But, like, what do they do? Well, Nurkic, to me, they have to get rid of. Nurkic is, like, remember how what a great fit he was? He's, like, doesn't fit with them.
So that. I was in the pregame session with Chauncey during that Portland game, and he was asked a question about just, like, looking out there seemingly every night and feeling like they're too small.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are tough questions for coaches to answer because maybe they want to lobby for a change, but they don't want to necessarily call anyone out. I sounded a lot like a guy who was tired of looking out on the floor and seeing that they were too small. Like
their problem is they have Lillard and Simons, and they've like Simons has been their untradeable piece for all this time.
He's not been good enough.
He's not good enough to warrant one, in my opinion, the contract. He gets really hot. He got hot in that game. Yep. They still lost.
Yep.
But to me, that's an issue. So to me, I look at Simons. I look at Nurkic. And I don't know that they have a bunch of other pieces that, like, are they going to part with a Shaedon Sharpe just to save face on this era?
Man, Portland coming into this season made that Jeremy Grant acquisition.
They got all
Josh
kinds
Hart.
Of applause. Everybody,
oh, yeah,
dude, Portland is the team that has won the offseason every year and underperformed.
Yeah, it's because their GM just texts reporters about all the trades that they're going to do and gets on their good side, and then everybody hypes up Portland. That's how it works for everybody that wants to know.
Yeah.
But Portland was going to be the team this year that, you know, maybe was like a fourth seed or like a fifth seed and then made the one move at the trade deadline to get into that top tier. And it's just gone totally off the rails. The Oklahoma City Thunder have a better record than the Portland Trailblazers.
That brings me to my number two team. They're a better team. And I look at this and I go, the Utah Jazz are the team I'm watching, them and the Timberwolves, because they've kind of stabilized a little bit over this last little stretch. I think the Thunder is as good as both of those teams with way more trade capital. And I'm looking at the Thunder going, why not try to solidify your roster now? You have all those picks. You're not going to trade one of your top picks or whatever, but you've got players. To me, you know Giddey's your guy. You know that Shea is your guy. Mm-hmm. You've got like Jalen Williams, who I think is a really good player. I would start to look around at some of the auxiliary pieces and say, what's the point? We're no longer tanking. Why don't we get rid of some of the young prospects and add a piece now, knowing we're also going to be adding pieces from our regular draft picks.
Do you need to wait and see how Chet fits into the roster before you can make those calculated decisions?
I don't know that you... I mean, look, you have Shai Gilgeous. And here's the other thing is we all know this. Making the play-in is cool. It's one game if you don't make it past that. I look at them and I go, why can't they make a move now that both sets them up for the future? Meaning you trade a guy who has years on a contract and, you know, you're not just making a win now move, but you're making a, hey, this guy would be part of the equation for a Paul Millsap type move, right? Denver made the Millsap move when they were young and unproven, and it helped propel them to even higher heights. To me, if I'm Oklahoma City, I'm looking at this going, why can't we make a regular playoffs? And why can't we actually go up against the Sacramento Kings in the first round? And like, what if we beat them?
And make our pitch to SGA, right? that you want to be here, not just because it's going well for you, because this situation could work.
They're just, in my opinion, they're closer to being a fully functioning team that also has a long runway than anything else. I just look at them as a sneaky team. They're less of a panic trade and more of a, could they spoil the market this year by taking on the big player everyone wanted because they have so much trade capital sitting around.
You talk about NBA media hyping up Portland. Can you imagine the hype machine behind the Thunder if they were to actually make a move?
They should. They absolutely should. They have the amount of picks they have is obscene.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be able to actually make those picks.
Right.
Like if they did, they would be damaging.
If they got like John Collins or something, you know, where you're just kind of like, oh, well, crap, now they're interesting because they have this other piece, you know, to the kid. I'm just throwing that as a
meme. They should.
Like, I agree.
You mentioned the other night, like, the next disgruntled superstar. It's like, could they get, like a Siakam? Could they do
it? Oh, right. Siakam is a great example. If they wanted to and they were like, that's our guy, they have the pieces to do that and still maintain future draft capital. Right. And now you're talking about Siakam, who's great, Shea, who's great, both of whom are enormous for their position. And then you look at that and you're like, man, that's a team that had a Suns-like rise from out of it all to all of a sudden they're like a top three team in their conference. So they're a team to look at. Phoenix, I just mentioned. Guys, Phoenix is still down bad. I mean, actually, they're 24.
They're kind of back a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold
the line. They'll just hold the line?
I think so. All right.
Yeah. Lakers, another team. There's just not a lot of moves out there. They made one. But I'm still like...
I don't think, just to go back, I don't think Phoenix will make a panic move, but I think they'll make a move. They have to move Jay Crowder. They have to move.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
They have to move him. And there are some other like margin pieces that they could...
Yeah.
Go. And they, you know,
it changes the market when they get involved.
They did, and you know, we wanted to bury Phoenix, but like they're not dead.
You have to imagine they're eager to move off of Ayton. Right?
I got one more Western Conference team, and then we got to roll. You can hit that outro music, Kale. The Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are also in the like, what do we do? And here's what's interesting: is they're 7-3, 1-2 in a row, no Gobert, no Towns, and honestly, they might not need a center, which is weird because they have two of them.
They've got Naz Reid.
They've got Naz Reid. But my point is, that's a team D'Angelo's just sitting there. Remember his quote?
That's what they got to figure out.
To me, they are a team that has a lot of players that they could, if there's a trade on the table, they need to take it, even if it's like 80 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
Like, they have a roster that doesn't make sense, and you got to start moving towards that, in my opinion.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell will definitely get traded.
He'll definitely get traded.
And it'll be 80 cents on the dollar, like you just said. I mean, I think the only reason he hasn't been moved, even before the season started, would be a lack of a market.
Is he worth a dollar? Is he? It's 80. It's 60.
I'd
cents
say
on
like
80
50 cents, maybe. I'd pay 50 cents on the dollar.
All right, that does it for us, guys. Today 40. We are back tomorrow. We got a back to back coming up: New Orleans, and then of course Milwaukee. So we got post game shows for you lined up for the next 2 days. We'll see you guys there. Hit the like button on the way out.
Let's go.